not backing down. This girl is on fire. This girl is on fire. We're walking on fire. These girls are on fire. Put your hands in the air. Oh, 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 oh.
Good evening. For WBAI News in New York, I'm Linda Perry with some of the news for Thursday, February 2nd, 2017. Today, the New York City Council's Progressive Caucus gathered on the steps of City Hall to show resistance to Donald Trump and to denounce his executive orders that have attacked New York City values and values of the country. Councilmember Donovan Richards is co-chair of the City Council's Progressive Caucus.
Many of these executive orders we've seen are anti-immigrant, obviously, anti-environment. They're anti-human in many senses. And let's be clear, America was built on immigration. It was built on the back of immigrants. My ancestors, my Mexican brothers, my Latino brothers and sisters, we have all made this country great, and we will continue to make this country great.
Richard says building walls will never be the answer to building a better America. The council member stands with activists from Legal Aid, from the Council of American Islamic Relations, CARE, with Womankind, Make the Road, Coalition for American Children and Families. He stands with other council members with the Muslim Community Network, Safe Horizon, Asian Americans for Equality, and others.
We're going to have to grow a spine here, and I think that's the biggest message that we can send to our friends in the Senate. The City Council will not waver at any opportunity to defend New York City and to keep New York City a sanctuary city.
I'm proud to join with all of you to stand up against Trump's executive action. We're here today to stand up to the hate that has found a powerful voice in the White House. And these executive actions threaten our most basic American value, and they put us in danger of rolling back the gains we have made toward a more just and fair society.
Councilmember Margaret Chin is vice co-chair of the Black, Latino, and Asian Caucus, a member of the Women's and Progressive Caucus. She says, we can't go backwards. We have to go forward. She says, we are all immigrants, and speaks from personal experience.
My father never saw his father, never met his father because of the Chinese Exclusion Act of 1882. Chinese were prevented from coming to this country, and Chinese Americans that were here were prevented from being U.S. citizens. Even though we helped build the railroad that brought prosperity to this country, and we helped build up this country, my mother didn't get to see her father until we came here in 1963 under President Kennedy's Refugee Act. We were refugees, and we were able to come. We got to make sure that the doors of this country continue to open and welcome everyone who are in need. This is who we are. So, do we need a wall to divide us?
Nope.
No.
No.
Will we ever, ever allow our city to lose its status as a sanctuary city?
No.
No. Will we abandon our dreamers and their family?
No.
No. Will we allow the Keystone Pipeline to be built without a fight?
No.
No. Will we fight against a Muslim ban that seek to divide our nation based on religion? Yes.
Yes.
So, when the people are united, we will never be defeated. El pueblo unido jamás será vencido.
Councilmember Julissa Ferreras Copeland.
My father came to this country as an undocumented person in the 70s, and he came here as a calculus professor. The first job he had was washing dishes. He then pumped gas and then put himself through college a second time because his degree was not recognized in the United States. And I am standing here to today as the finance chair, and I take every one of those struggles with me in every fight that we have in this city. Immigrants, Muslim, the Muslim community, women, LGBT community, every person that this president has attacked, you are not alone. We stand together. Enough is enough. Ya basta. Unidos siempre.
Councilmember Carlos Menchaca is chair of the New York City Council's Immigration Committee. He says it's the people who are building a resistance movement.
The stuff that's happening right now in churches, in backyards, inside people's homes, is happening right now and isn't necessarily all getting covered, but we need to know that this resistance movement is growing in the corners of every part of this incredible city. And that's because we are resisting the incredible, not only the executive orders, but everything that's on its way from this administration. And so I want to say thank you to everybody who's been marching, who's been resisting in their ways. And there are people who can't go out and march today because they're undocumented or their status is not of a citizen or naturalized citizen. And so we need to make sure that we honor their work as they resist in their own ways. Second thing I want to say is that every time someone steps out and wavers in any way, whether it's this mayor that has in a moment just yesterday started wavering, and you're gonna hear some advocates talk about it, we need to come out and say no, basta. Stay in line and stay the course. And actually we need to bolster, thank you. We need to bolster our boldness and follow cities like Los Angeles that are going a step further and actually tipping the balance in these conversations that for forever wanted to balance a lot of different issues. And this is why I want to make sure that I'm holding every city council member accountable to make sure that we do that. And we stop balancing issues that actually are not going to go anywhere. And now is the time to actually make some big steps forward. And the final thing I want to say as we move forward in the immigration agenda is that we're looking at policies, but we're also looking at budget. And so these organizations here are going to need a lot more funding, and we're going to look at this closely, and we're going to make sure that we build an incredible immigration, climate change, economic portfolio that really answers to this question, and it's going to come out of the city council with your support.
Councilmember Ferreras-Copeland points out that the city's immigrant families pay taxes whenever they purchase anything. And she says to Donald Trump, what the city council is doing is investing those taxes in programs which defend immigrants.
We are going to take our taxes, regardless of what you say, that you're going to hold back federal funding to sanctuary cities. New York City says we will stand up with our immigrant families, and we will take our tax dollars and invest them in all of these organizations and with all of our people, because we must continue to protect our families.
You know, last night I had a forum in my district called Fact Versus Fiction. And afterwards, what was perhaps the only Muslim woman in the crowd came up to me and said, "Thank you for standing with the Muslims." I had never met her before.
Councilmember Helen Rosenthal represents the Upper West Side of Manhattan.
I had never known there was a large Muslim community on the Upper West Side. Turns out there is. And turns out that they have since, for the past, 13 days, been negatively approached. And she feels that there's many on the Upper West Side who are being discriminated against and whose children are going to bed afraid. Well, this Jewish woman stands with the Muslim women standing behind me and throughout the city. And I will not stop. And as I've said repeatedly, you asked earlier, what is the New York City Council going to do? This is what the New York City Council is going to do. We will not pass a budget with federal money at the risk of our immigrant, our illegal immigrant, our tenuously legal immigrant population of giving them up. We will not pass a budget with those federal dollars. We will not pass a budget with any federal dollars, which would give up our citizens, our residents, the people standing behind me and their families, and anyone they happen to know.
It was in December of 2016 that the City Council passed a resolution affirming New York City as a sanctuary city. Councilmember Ben Kalos is vice chair of the City Council's Progressive Caucus.
As a sanctuary city, we will provide services to all residents regardless of immigration status. We will not seek immigration status, and we will not disclose immigration status to the maximum extent of the law. Children are safe to attend public schools. Unaccompanied minors may dream. Workers can earn a living, and victims of crimes may report them. And even those who make minor mistakes are free to be a part of our city without fear of being deported. While Trump's executive order threatens to withdraw as much as $60 million from our police, who are currently spending up more than $365 million a year to protect him and his property, we as a council will stand strong as a sanctuary city. And one other piece I just have to address is the Muslim ban. At my inauguration in our state of the district, we read Herman Niemöller's "And Then They Came." And so, if you're familiar with the poem, these aren't just hollow words, but a commitment to speak out on behalf of others, even if we may not identify with them, because otherwise there may be no one to speak for us. At a time when families are being separated, when students can't return to school, when doctors who treat residents in hospitals in my district with their special visas can't do their jobs and can't heal the sick, we must speak for them.
Councilmember Kalos says New York City will continue to fight. Councilmember Brad Landers is wearing a large black hat on the steps of City Hall. He's on his way to Denver to a board meeting of an organization called Local Progress. He says progressive council members and local elected officials are not only organizing with their allies in New York City, but in Philadelphia, Detroit, and in Denver, and in cities which have newly become sanctuary cities like Kingston and Rochester. He points to school boards, which are organizing.
And let's say last night's great step of progress, a couple of Republican senators recognizing they can't put Betsy DeVos in charge. We can't have an anti-education secretary. That comes because local school board elected members in those states were reaching out from Maine to Alaska. And I am pleased to let all of those folks know what we're doing here. And you know, what I think is critical is that we are not only going to stand strong in resistance. It's not only rally after rally and protest. It's not only insisting that we preserve our sanctuary, but cities now are the place that have to show this country what it looks like to move forward to build an inclusive country. So we've got more to do, and I think our response to the hateful policies of the Trump regime cannot only be resistance, they must also be progress. So we've got a lot still to do. You know, what's sanctuary if you get kicked out of your home? So Councilmember Levine's right to council bill, making sure everybody facing eviction in housing court, that's a sanctuary policy. And why stop there? Why not make sure that every immigrant facing deportation has a lawyer as well? That's a sanctuary city policy. And we also need to build an economy that has opportunity for all. So when we're fighting to make sure that workers get advance notice of their schedules and access to full-time work, that's a sanctuary policy too. We are going to keep standing together. You know, the only silver lining here is that these hateful acts are bringing people together as never before. So last night we were out in Foley Square. It seems like we're out every few hours together. And at that one, you know, Donovan joked about wearing the hat, you know, but what I wanted to do was say, you know, this middle-aged Brooklyn Jew is standing side by side with Heba Jamal, a Bronx-born Palestinian teenager who organized several thousand people last night for last night's Muslim ban rally. And what we will make sure is that in standing up together, we rediscover what matters for democracy in this country and build that resistance movement that Carlos talked about in a way that truly takes this city and this country forward.
And you're listening to the news on WBAI in New York. Coverage of the Progressive Caucus of the New York City Council, who spoke out with advocates against Donald Trump's executive orders.
We're standing on land that belonged to the first group that was rounded up and because of their race, thrown in camps and killed, and that's the Native Americans.
Suki Terada Ports is a Japanese internment survivor.
Along came a group that felt that real estate was more important and skin color was more important. So 120,000 Japanese Americans and Japanese were thrown into camps on the West Coast. But we didn't escape on the East Coast. My mother, I lived during the time that my mother was under house arrest by the FBI here in New York City the entire length of the war. And I'm old enough to know that our family doctor was put on Ellis Island, which was the camp on the East Coast here in New York City. But it's not okay for somebody from the Trump cabal to say that we know how to round people up. The precedent has been set. We were able to put the Japanese Americans into camps so we can do that with all of the Syrians. And I'm here to say that the Japanese community says never again. You will not do it to the Syrians. You will not do it to anybody else who you feel by ethnicity or race you can simply lump in one group and either throw them out of the country, put them in jail, put them in camps behind barbed wires. We say never again, and that must be how we all work together.
Tina Luongo is with Legal Aid. She says her more than 2,000 staff who are in courts in each of the court systems stands with the city.
And here's what we need from this city, the city council, and the administration. Stand with all of our clients. Do not give in to categorizing somebody as law-abiding or not.
Yes.
It is destructive. It is exactly how President Trump has gotten where he is, by dividing us into categories, Muslim or Christian, straight or queer, black or white, Latino or Asian, and now law-abiding or not. We cannot give in to that. We must stand shoulder to shoulder. For every single person who can't go and march because they will be subjected to possible arrest, we're going to be there. The Legal Aid Society is going to be there, shoulder to shoulder, with this progressive caucus, with this progressive speaker, with these progressive city council members, and I'm going to call on our mayor to be absolutely 100% behind every New Yorker.
And Luongo says to Trump and his administration, when you come after us, New Yorkers show up and we bring the masses. Albert Kahn is with CARE New York, the Council of Islamic Relations. He says, Donald Trump, you cannot target New Yorkers without New Yorkers standing up.
I am a Jewish man who works every day on behalf of the Muslim community, and I'm not the exception. Jews around this city are standing up because we know the lessons of history. This past week, on Holocaust Remembrance Day, Donald Trump signed an executive order banning refugees coming to the country built by immigrants, banning refugees on a day when we remember the loss and the pain and the suffering caused by xenophobia of the past, when we remember the millions who died because they could not escape. We are a city that believes that we can do better than that. New Yorkers are standing up because we know Donald Trump. We know who he is. For years, we have seen the games he plays, the tricks he does, and we know that soon the rest of this country will see him for what he is. We come together today to say that these executive orders are not just illegal, not just unconstitutional, but they are unwise and unsafe for all Americans.
When Trump says he's keeping America safe, Kahn asks, safe from whom?
From the doctors who are stranded overseas? From the people who serve their communities? From the grandparents who can't see their grandchildren? Donald Trump is not keeping Americans safe. He is stranding them abroad. He is keeping them home in fear. But we, their allies, will stand up and will never shy away for as long as he is in office. I thank the city council for being on the forefront of standing up to President Trump and making it clear that this city will never be silent when our neighbors are attacked.
The only Muslim on the city council is Councilmember Danique Miller from Queens. He says, we value all our citizens, our immigrant, and our Muslim population.
But that's who we are as a council. That's who we are as a city. But it's more, what is more impressive is the individuals of this New York City that we have seen last week at Washington Square Park, that we saw at the airports, that have stepped outside of their comfort and convenience to stand with Muslims and to stand with immigrants. That's what we have done, and that is what we will continue to do, not just as a council, but as a city. I think that, you know, I had the opportunity to speak last week at one of the rallies prior to some of the executive orders that came out. And we said that we at this council and we of this progressive coalition that have gathered here on many occasions have set the template. We have a recipe for success of unification, bringing people together and fighting this oppression and tyranny. We do it well, and it's a message that has spread throughout the city. And we see that. But we also said that leaders have a responsibility, words that are espoused, that words mean something, that words have consequences.
That's right.
And no sooner than we see the incendiary rhetoric that comes from Washington and those who, and I always say that their ignorance is only surpassed by those who will follow them, which has demonstrated themselves by what we've seen in Quebec and other places throughout the world. And so we always will be here to espouse positive words that will bring people together, unify people, and lead people in a progressive direction so that we have a future. History will repeat itself. We have gone down this road before, but we have succeeded. And I will simply lead you with that: the struggle continues, and we must continue to resist.
Today, about 1,000 Yemeni American bodega owners have closed their stores in protest over Donald Trump's travel ban. And this evening, they are holding a rally at Borough Hall in Brooklyn. Protesters say people in their native country are trying to flee starvation and violence. At the protest, bodega owners and family members will share stories of how they are being impacted by the travel ban. Trump's executive order has affected people in Yemen, Iraq, Iran, Libya, Somalia, Sudan, and Syria for 90 days, resulting in travelers being detained, sent back from the U.S., or stranded in other countries. One store owner says his wife and his baby are stuck in Yemen even after completing the green card process. There are 4.4 million foreign-born New Yorkers, 15,000 of them originally from one of those seven countries. Meanwhile, New York State Attorney General Eric Schneiderman has joined lawyers for immigrants challenging Trump's executive order. Court papers filed say the order unfairly targets Muslims and violates federal laws.
17 attorneys general, 16 colleagues, and myself put out a very strong statement that we view the executive order as unconstitutional, that it would ultimately be struck down by the courts, but that in the meantime, we were committed to trying to protect people who are essentially caught in the crossfire, not just by the executive order, by the way it was rolled out with no planning, no notice to the people on the ground, no consultation with the people at DHS and state. So our first goal was to try and make sure no one was being improperly detained at New York airports. I immediately wrote to DHS, got a very prompt response and an assurance that they had consulted with the U.S. Attorney's Office in New York and were not violating the court order. Four separate courts heard various complaints in different four separate federal district courts around the country, and every one of those courts found some likelihood of a constitutional infirmity in this executive order and ordered some form of stay or another. Now, in addition, so that's the situation now. What we have out there is chaos because people are continuing to arrive. The orders to the people on the ground at the airports are unclear. The policy has changed over the last few days, and they've reversed themselves on several matters. We are joining the lawsuit, and as you'll see in our complaint, it's going to be, I think I can fairly say it's a pretty fleshed out complaint as compared to some of the other pleadings that have been filed, is really based on the fact that in addition to harm to individual detainees, this does harm to New York and really all the people of New York. We're a city and a state that depend on immigrants. we are institutions of higher learning, our medical institutions, the finance community, the tech community, and there are New Yorkers who live here who are not detainees, but who are also hurt by the executive order, who have, may have family members overseas. So there are a lot of rights that are implicated other than the rights of the specific detainees. The lawyers who've come in have sought to certify a class just on behalf of people being detained. And keep in mind also that the detainees that we're dealing with right now are only under one section of the executive order. There are other sections shutting down the refugee program, shutting down the refugee program permanently for Syrians, and taking other steps that we view as constitutionally impermissible. So we're intervening because there are separate damages done to the state of New York and to all the people of the state of New York by this executive order.
The lawsuit joins one filed by the American Civil Liberties Union after Trump's order was issued the evening of January 27th. Judges have subsequently issued temporary stays on the ban, but the NYCLU says even with the court-ordered stay, it continues to hear alarming reports of invasive and inappropriate questioning and detention of non-citizen travelers arriving to JFK. Linda Perry, WBAI News, New York.
There's something happening here. What it is ain't exactly clear. There's a man with a gun over there telling me I got to beware. I think it's time we stop, children. What's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. There's battle lines being drawn. Nobody's right if everybody's wrong. Young people speak in their minds are getting so much resistance from behind. Time we stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. What a field day for the heat. A thousand people in the street singing songs and carrying signs, mostly saying hooray for our side. It's time we stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going on. Your life, it will creep. It starts when you're always afraid. Step out of line, the man come and take you away. You better stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. Stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down.